All right, this is looking at the chart itself of Jim Jones. The actual reading of the chart is now beginning. I have selected the degree of 22 Aries as the rising degree on this chart. I selected it for several reasons. Number one, it connects to your mother's chart. Number two, the 11, 22, and 33 are crucifixion degrees, and 13 also, of course. And the chart of the life as you have lived it certainly has been one of total crucifixion of the self throughout the life pattern. Also, the degree as defined by Isidore Kosminski. I'll read you his definition. Under the influence of the planet Mars, a pilgrim crossing himself in front of an ancient temple, an overdressed official and a soldier mocking at him, denotes a devout person who will be subjected to many trials and taunts in life, but who will, by the strength of his faith, overcome them all. He comes from the masses rather than from the classes, and his sympathy will ever be with the struggling people of the nations. From officialdom and materialism, he receives scant courtesy. It is a symbol of faith. This particular author has proved to be so accurate in other charts that I've done and in other degree areas that I will often, when I'm in doubt, look to see what image content he picked up on this particular degree and see if it ties. So, for that reason, I've selected this degree area. On the degree area for your ascendant, for your sun, his definition is, as 22 Taurus, hand holding a torch amidst the darkness under the influence of Jupiter. It denotes a light bearer whose mission is to guide others and to uplift them. No matter how dark the way, his presence inspires brightness. There is no weakness in this native who knows just what he is on this world to do and who does it. It is a symbol of directorship. So you see, his patterns that he sees are very definitive. And so for this reason, I've selected this 22 Aries rising in your chart. Also, it fits your appearance. As time goes along, I can test this chart and watch it, but where I don't have exact dates and things that I can check out against it, it's very hard for me to test the chart in other ways. The angles of the chart, that's the first house, the fourth house, the seventh, and the tenth houses of the chart, deal with the form and the formations of the life pattern. But to find the basis behind that, we look to the 12th house. The Caden house, or the last house before an angle, is actually the point out of the past from which the angular house must grow. So we take a look at your 12th house. I'm going to touch on these briefly, since if you want me to do a lengthy delineation on the natal horoscope later, I will, but right now, for the sake of time and so that you don't have to sit through a great deal, I'll just give very briefly on these. The 12th house holds Moon, North Node, Uranus, and Venus, spread but nonetheless in conjunction. Uranus, of course, is the revolutionary planet. It's the disintegrator of the Saturnian form. Saturn, probably relating to capitalism, Uranus to socialism, and Neptune to the perfect seed plan of communism, and Pluto, of course, to the truth factors that bring all of these into their proper perspective. The Venus-Uranus in the 12th gives a very, very intense emotional pattern. Moon in Aries acts like a Moon-Mars conjunction that intensifies the emotional nature. Also, the imaging abilities. The Moon is the great reflector, and as such, with the connection in Aries, it gives you a direct connection to the martial brain, to the idea forms that are open and available to you. In Aries, it an initiator, then Asuranus would connect with the most extreme emotional patterns, sexual drives, and the like. This pattern in the 12th house of secrets and sorrow explains itself. There are many secrets and many sorrows and connections with the emotional pattern. And of course, in your case, a square in Jupiter-Pluto, opposing Saturn, so we're largely connected with karma from the past, and also Pluto brings the light of day into them, and eventually in later life, probably everything in the life pattern comes out. In the latter days of the life, at least, all will be known. There's no ultimate secrecy in this chart. I shouldn't say that's true. Pluto in the fourth is a double factor. That's the card, the face, the two faces of Pluto. There's always a hidden side to everything. There will be some things that will never be told. I should qualify that. There will be some aspects of this that will never be made known, will never be told, but certain of them will come out. The house of the chart holds the Sun-Mercury conjunction. It's a wide conjunction. The Mercury is in Taurus, which is Venus sign, and it increases the sensory perception and increases the mercurial mind expressions. Mercury is the, you might say, the wiring across which all of the senses must express. We define Mercury as the nervous system, and it's the network over which all of the ideas, feelings, and actions are programmed by the controlling God or the controlling image content of the particular system, or gods as you will, since there are many people at the helm in every life pattern. The person who's at the helm today when you make a decision is not necessarily the person who's at the helm when you go to carry it out. And Mercury represents the flow of prana or nerve force, and the blockages to Mercury indicate the times when this force is also blocked. It's the force that interprets consciousness of the energy coming inward. Planets relate to energy and its distribution. There seems to be a level of energy expressing as we consider the planets coming from the Sun outward, and a level of consciousness expressing as we consider the planets from Pluto coming inward. And actually that is a whole method of interpretation within itself. Interpretations of the planets going from the Sun outward and from Pluto coming back inward, and as they relate, you look for different things by looking to different, along different pathways. The Mercury rising in the chart gives a very early, keen, sharp mentality. Gives a very good ability to express. The planet was stationary, going direct at the time of your birth, so there is an increased intensification of the chronic force available to you and able to flow across that network. We look to the aspect of Sun and Pluto and find that it is sextile and harmonious, and that the Plutonian energy flows easily through your Sun and outward, unless there is an aspect from Pluto to the natal Sun. And usually a harmony aspect is the easiest to handle. Then there is difficulty getting the cosmic force into the center, which can then flow out across the nervous system through the vehicle itself. This is shown by your chart to be extremely high, and it is also indicative that your motivation is about as sound as any motivation could be. Probably one of the first things I looked at when I looked at your planets was to see the aspect between Sun and Pluto, which defines the motivation of the chart. And I find this to be in strongest harmony and to be in most profound and sincere aspect. sun in the first is indicative that you do not really pay much attention in this life to anything beyond what you yourself are here to initiate, what you yourself are here to do. You recognize the importance of that, and it's very difficult for you to be sidetracked even for a moment into other areas unless things directly relate to the plan that you are formulating, the plan you are working with. You will not be inclined to get very much interested. Courtesy might prompt you to listen, but in fact, unless it is part of the pattern, or you can see it as part of the pattern, you will not listen to any great degree, to anything that might sidetrack you from your efforts. And this probably was true lifelong, because this is a dominant aspect in the chart. The house of finances is ruled by Venus conjunct Uranus, which means that things come to you in swoops and fells, and at times there is limitation and at times there is lack. But when it does come, it comes with surprises and it comes with people. Money in your chart usually comes with people. Uranus brings people, usually strangers or unexpected patterns, into the life. The greatest sums of money come through unexpected sources in your pattern. I'm inclined to think that they come as a result of materialization of whatever need is there, because Taurus is ruling that point, and Taurus inclines to materialize what it needs when it needs it. It's the sign that we connect to the greatest understanding of human need. And by that I mean food, clothing, and lodging. The basic needs of human life. The ideologies are ruled by the third house. We find Gemini on this house. So we look to the aspects of the natal Mercury and find it aspecting every planet in the chart. There's no limitation to the ideologies. The basic one is the revolutionary ideology of change. Now, when Uranus came into Aries, it brought with it the people of that era were those who will initiate the revolutionary patterns for the world. Those born with Pluto in Cancer will initiate the form of those revolutionary ideas. Of course, you were one of those with Pluto in Cancer, and Uranus in Aries, so you come in with both the demolition know-how to get rid of the old plan and the form and structure for the new plan. Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in the fourth house give you a wandering home. I've never seen a chart yet of anyone with Pluto in the fourth house where they were in the birth location. The world is their home. They're world travelers. They're never satisfied in the birth location, and usually they travel a great deal in life. Saturn opposing your Pluto has made travel at times extremely difficult, but the travel is nonetheless indicated and will continue. You will lifelong be a world traveler. You have brief periods when you do not, but that will just be that, brief periods. The fifth house of the chart is the house of the natural children, and it is the house of the loves of your life. And by that I mean the things as well as the people that you love. The places as well as the things and people. We find Mars and Neptune both in this house, in different signs, but both in this house. The Sun also rules, and Mercury also rules a degree of this house in your chart. This would indicate 3 to 4 natural children. There may be another one from the looks of this yet to come. It indicates a constant difficulty for the children, a danger of accidents, and a danger of the poisonings, Neptune indicating poisonings, and a danger of accidents through the martial type of accident or attack. I don't know that there will ever be a totally safe time for your children. Probably your own protective energy is the only thing that has saved them thus far from much more grief than they would have otherwise had. Yet through this they seem to achieve tremendous abilities. Leo giving them understanding of leadership roles, Virgo giving them understanding of the common man. Mars turning the moon and sextiling the Saturn gives them ultimate success in life. Now this is one of the aspects that you do not usually go beyond. As I said, some aspects are almost destiny. These give a destiny pattern to your children, and it promises them a life success. You have a destiny pattern in your own chart, the Saturn trine the moon, almost exact in aspect, the Sun being 22 degrees, Saturn being 23 degrees of both signs in trine one another, we call a harmony aspect. This gives you an assured success in the ultimate life pattern. Now Saturn in the 10th house in the natal location warns you to get the hell out of the birth location, because if you don't, there is danger of a fall after a rise. But by moving to a locality where Saturn is not in the 10th, then the Sun trine Saturn can work to the fullest, and that is operative in Guyana, incidentally. In the Ukiah location, Saturn was in the 11th, which is the betrayal of friends. You will not have the betrayal of friends here that you had in the Ukiah area. South node in the 6th house of work and labors indicates that you're inclined to pour yourself out to your detriment in the house of work. You work to your detriment. It would be better if you could work less than 24 hours a day. I don't know that I have any business saying that, but that would be my advice to the ordinary person with that position, that you're inclined to pour yourself out into work and actually waste many of your energies in this area. But probably in your case, this should be read differently. Seventh house is ruled by Libra. Whew, that's very, very sensitive balance. Libra is a difficult sign to deal with. This brings difficulty with the partners to a degree, risen by the Venus-Uranus conjunction. They would have to be of a most intense nature and a most unusual disposition. And there is always the need to be held in very, very careful balance, or this gets out of adjustment or out of alignment, and then the balance is way off. Venus-Uranus in the house of partnerships gives the image, content, the archetype dominating that particular area of life or the partner or mate as Uranus revolutionary, Venus love, the love of revolution, and the willingness to go to extremes before interest can be developed on your part. And if the people brought into that pattern were not of that nature, your pattern in your chart would make that of them. So I would qualify that. If their nature was not that when they started with you, it would be before they were finished with you, because you would, your own image is so strong in that area that it would superimpose itself upon their own pattern. However, there would have to be something related in their chart in order to draw them and hold them to that correcting pattern that you would superimpose. The eighth house, the house of the hereditary pattern, is ruled by Pluto and Scorpio. We find Pluto with Jupiter in the fourth, the end of life, so that the heredity of the life is realized in the latter part of the life. The inherited pattern, that which you came in to do, that which is yours, you might say by divine right or by destiny, is not realized until the latter part of life. The latter half of the life would see the beginning of the fulfillment of that. The first half of the life would not contain, but the latter half of the life would. I will have more to say on that when I come to the aspects, because there is a, you have a particular progression that is relating to that. The ninth house of philosophy and travel is ruled by Neptune and Jupiter, and we find the Jupiter connected with Pluto in the fourth, opposite Saturn and squared by Moon, Uranus, and Venus, so there is no boundary to the education, there is no boundary to the travels, but the whole thing is dominated by this revolutionary pattern in the seed pattern of the chart, the 12th house of the chart. Saturn in the 10th is in Capricorn. Capricorn is connected with empire. We connect the empire period to Saturn. And the remnants of empire in the earth field are found ruled by Saturn. So that the forms that you are breaking up, Uranus squaring that Saturn, you are breaking up the forms and the connections that relate to empire in the earth field. That is what the impression is in your mind. That is, would be the dominating archetype, would be to destroy all of that, to demolish it. Uranus is the decrystallizing planet. It breaks up all crystallization. Saturn is the highest form of crystallization possible from the lunar or reflective image content. Now, Moon out through Saturn deals directly with Earth and its image content. The Plutonian formations, Saturn is the planet of intense form. It brings into form. It creates formation. The Plutonian formations are cosmic in origin and deal with cosmic energy fields. Saturn cannot handle the cosmic energy field. But when it is related by aspect, as it is in your chart, it either brings a person of intense brutality, or it brings a person of such intense understanding that he can hardly bear what he feels. And if you see a chart with the Venus, as you have in this chart, square Saturn opposition Pluto, which is not a usual aspect, when you find such a planet, you will find a person either of great brutality and total insensitivity, or one who feels so intensely the pain of the world that he has no choice but to help reach out and try to alleviate the pain that he feels, which is, of course, the case in this chart. In some of my lecture material, I ran into this pattern. I think it's in this Pluto material that I'm giving you. You might recognize it when you come to it, should you choose to read it. 11th house of friends is ruled by Aquarius. Back to the 10th house. The career itself is actually the demolition of the old empirical forms. Saturn in the 10th would have given you a loss of position in your native locality, but since, as I explained, you have no value of that locality, that separates you from that image content. The friends would be revolutionary people. Those chosen for life friends would be people of revolutionary nature, people of Uranian nature, unusual, different, very extreme. You would never choose for friends people of mild nature, because this would not appeal to you at all. You might be kind to them, but they would not be your choice of friends. When we think of Neptune, we think of the, I would describe it as the image of the higher consciousness sitting up there someplace in your mind, one of the levels of the mind, with the whole plan and the whole program for the ultimate development all figured out, sitting up there watching you develop as you come along the way. In other words, it would be the idea form watching the materialization. That's kind of far-fetched, and I don't know how else to explain the tension pattern. But the 12th house is the ultimate development. It's the beginning development from the past life, and it's also the seed that you lay for the next life, should there be one. And it's also the means of the ultimate death, and in your chart, it's a strange pattern. With this pattern, you will probably be one of those who will will yourself to go out when you want to go out, just as you have willed yourself to stay here at times when you've had death approach. I'm over my head on this particular pattern in the chart, and I tell you out front, I should not be interpreting it because I really don't understand all the implications of your chart. Some things I see there and I don't quite know how to read them. I know how to read them in an ordinary chart, but they don't apply in your case, so I don't know how to read them in your chart necessarily, some things. The end of the life, I rather like in this chart. Jupiter is with Pluto. Now that's the kingmaker aspect. Pluto is intense formation. It's a crystallizer at a cosmic level. Saturn is a crystallizer at an earth level. So we have Saturn opposing Pluto, separating and binding. So we have an intensification of the Plutonian ability to materialize form and to crystallize formations. This falls in sextile to the natal sun, which is a beautiful aspect, pouring huge, tremendous amounts of concentrated energy into the life expression through the self, through the person, through the physical body, actually, because it falls in your first house. So the life goal is definitely realized in this chart. Now, looking at the polarities in the chart, the declinations first, we find Moon, Venus, and Mercury in parallel aspect in south declination. This increases the reflective abilities, the psychic abilities. Your psychic perceptions, however, are not the norm, are not psychic as most people are psychic. Yours comes through the Venus field, which is actual sensory feeling, perception through the feeling. Actually, the sensory antenna, which are supposed to extend probably 3/4 of an inch beyond the physical form itself, are very, very highly developed in this body. And if we had some device that could see it or measure it, it would be seen to be of extreme color and extreme development in your pattern. Sun and Mars are parallel at 17 and 18 degrees north declination in the natal chart, and Jupiter and Pluto are parallel at 22 degrees north declination. So these are just increasing power and drive aspects in the chart. The natal latitudes present a very, very interesting thing. They're all very near the ecliptic. This is not usually the case. Whenever planets are very near the ecliptic, or the pattern along which the Earth or the Sun travels, and the whole Earth field, in other words, it's the pattern through the galaxy that all of our planets are taking, as I recall. Now, I could be wrong on that, but that's as I recall. But I do know that and this is from a scientific standpoint, the energy field is tremendously increased on the ecliptic. And so here we find the natal latitudes of your planets at 3 degrees north for the Sun, 1 south for the Moon, Mercury 2 south, Venus 1 south, Mars 1 north, Jupiter 0 north, Saturn 0 north, Uranus 0 south, Neptune 0 north, Pluto 0 north, being the ecliptic itself starting at 0 and moving out either north or south. The extreme is about 23 to 26 degrees, and the usual is around 8 to 10. So all of these planets right on the ecliptic increases the power of everything in your chart by about 700%. Every one of those being on the ecliptic would increase the power of that particular planet. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them at 0 degrees, 3 of them at 1 degree, and 2 of them at 2 and 3 degrees accordingly, so they're all very close to the ecliptic. That increases the power on which you have to draw so far beyond the ordinary that it isn't even funny. The polarities are evenly balanced. You have 5 planets in male signs, 5 in female signs, which gives you, as you know, tremendous balance in your person. Interestingly, the sun is in a feminine sign, and the moon, which is a feminine planet, is in a masculine sign, so this gives you a greater strength. I worked with a very brilliant scientist named Ralph. I can't think of his last name right now. He was a student of yours, probably. He belonged to the Baha'i religion, which I understand was founded by the Bab, and although he wasn't a religionist as such, he did believe in the social order that the Bab was trying to bring about, but he was very disappointed with the people operating in religion, and so he wasn't practicing it. But he had a fantastic science that he developed, and in fact, when we have time, it might be interesting for some of our people to go through it, because he developed forms which houses could be placed that would give greater harmony to the people living within them. He did this with rabbits. He also found that he was able, through magnetic application, to change change mailbox into females and have them produce, and vice versa. I do have a lot of his scientific writing. He was a man of extremely high moral character. It's immoral in the sense of honor as against morality. I don't mean it in the usual sense there. Integrity would be a better word, not morality, integrity. He said when he was going to die, and he put himself out within an hour after he said that he was going out. I'm about at the end of this tape, so you'll go to tape.